Turn, if you would, please, to James chapter 1. I'll be reading in a little bit here, verses 19 through 25. I've mentioned to you many times that when it comes to the Bible and certain aspects of Christian living and principles of Christian living, many of those truths of Christian living are very simple to understand, but hard to live. Simple to understand, but hard to live. The reality is, we cannot live out our faith, we cannot obey the scriptures apart from the enabling and the grace of God in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to look at some truths of scripture as it relates to the word of God and our receptivity to it and our response to it, and realize that these truths are very simple for us to understand, but yet they're very hard to live apart from the grace of God. And so this morning, I want to look at descriptions of a receptive heart. Descriptions of a receptive heart to the Word of God, to the truth of God. In the Gospel, there's a parable called the parable of the sower. And this parable is not so much about the sower, right? It's more about the four types of ground or heart that soil represents. And Jesus explained in this parable that three of those soils represented there were unproductive. They did not bring forth fruit. And these unproductive soils or ground represents those who do not properly hear the word of God. That's what those three soils represent. Because in the passage, Jesus kind of declares to those people on that Sermon on the Mount there that ye that have ears to hear, let them hear. In other words, be careful, be attentive about how you're hearing the message of my word. And then he also warned that and said, take heed how you hear. And so there was within this Sermon on the Mount and this parable of the sowers, this emphasis upon being careful about how you hear the word of God. So we must give careful attention to the word of God. We must hear from God. That's very important that we do so. And so he shares there that a hearer with a hard heart will not have spiritual life. In other words, that seed that was thrown on that hard ground, if that ground or that heart is hard, then it will not bring forth spiritual life. The seed will not find a soil that will be conducive to growth. He also shares there that a hearer who without deep roots is someone who will quickly wither when trials and temptations come. Somebody may receive, that soil may receive the word of God quickly, but because it's not rooted, it's not grounded, that when difficulties and trials come, that person's faith will wither away. And then he says that the hearer who is distracted by the world will have the word choked off before they bear any spiritual fruit. The cares of this world, the things of this world will choke off the word of God. And so, talking about the three soils and the four soils and the need to be receptive and be careful about how we hear. You know, according to the Old Testament, it is God's people have often been the worst hearers of God's word. You wouldn't think that would be the case, but in the Old Testament we find that. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13 says this, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and all of Judah concerning the words of this book which is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do unto all that is written concerning us. Jeremiah 6:10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Jeremiah 6:17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So some of the worst hearers of the word of God in the Old Testament were those that were God's people. And you know, and there's severe consequences to not hearing the word of God. Deuteronomy 8:20 says, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. 1 Samuel 12:15, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Isaiah 66:4, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Why? because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. And so not only have God's people been guilty of not hearing the word of God, but there's severe consequences to not taking heed to God's word in our lives. And so the whole Old Testament is really many times a commentary of God's people where God's desiring to be heard of them, but God's people refuse to listen to God. And so Jesus' story on this parable of the sower gives us hope that that soil that maybe is hardened, that is not receptive to God's word, can change. It can become soft again. Jeremiah 4:3 and the book of Hosea kind of state the same thing when they say, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." In other words, as these prophets would go to God's people, they would say, "Listen, your hearts are hard. You are not listening. You are not obeying my voice, and you need to break up that fallow ground." What was fallow ground? Well, fallow ground was ground that at one time had been plowed. It had been prepared to receive seed, but no seed was planted, and therefore, at least for a year or more, that ground became dormant and became hard. It became compact. It was not ready to receive the seed as it once was. And so these Old Testament prophets would say, break up that fallow ground, that ground of your heart that is hard and unreceptive to the word, break it up so it can receive the seed of God's word. So that gives us hope. Because if our hearts this morning have become cold to the word of God, if our hearts this morning have become unresponsive to the word of God, the scripture says that that heart, that soil that has become hardened, can be broken up. It can be plowed again. It can be made soft to receive the word of God. Because our hearts that maybe become hard to the word of God need to be prepared to receive God's word. And that can happen in my life. That can happen in your life. We no longer have hearts that are prepared to receive. We're used to coming to church. Young people in Christian school, I taught Bible for a number of years in a Christian school. We had Bible class every day. We had chapel every day. I mean, these kids were inundated with the Word of God. What a challenge that is. All right, what a challenge that is. For even young people whose hearts can become hard or unresponsive, unprepared to receive the word of God in their lives. And so we need to prepare our hearts to receive God's word. So how can our hearts be prepared for the word? What can we do so we are not like the hard-hearted people of the Old Testament? And so you're in James chapter 1. Now the context of the book of James is this, just real briefly. James was the pastor or the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is writing to Jewish Christians who, because of persecution, were forced to leave their homes and church. And these Jewish believers were scattered abroad. That's what it says there in James chapter 1. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, these Jewish believers that are being forced from their homes and from their communities because of their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. And so James, as they have been scattered, has apparently heard that some of them are not living out their faith any longer. They're not living out their faith. And so James is going to share some really rubber meets the road kind of truths and responses that believers will have to trials. And that's what he starts off with in the first 12 verses of chapter 1. That, listen, if you're a believer, here's how you should respond to trials. That which even you're going through right now. And then he's going to give them next another test of their genuine faith. He's going to give them the test of how they respond to the word of God. In other words, if you have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only will you respond to trials in the right way, but you will respond to the word of God in the proper way. And that's what he's going to share with them here. So our text this morning is for James 1, 19 through 25. And we need to be encouraged this morning on regarding a proper response to God's word. And so we want to look at a description of a receptive heart. Of a good ground that receives the seed of God's word and eventually grows to produce fruit. So we'll look at these four characteristics of a heart that is prepared to receive the word of God. Let's read this familiar passage together, starting here in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so, characteristics of a prepared heart to receive the word. The first one we find is that it's the characteristic of teachability. Teachability, ready to learn, where we come and we prepare our mind to hear the word of God. So when we gather together, or when we go to the word of God personally, we have to go with a teachable heart. We have to go with a mindset that is ready to receive the word of God. He starts off verse 19 where he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Is James talking about our responses to one another? That I need to be swift to hear the counsel and advice that other people give to me? I need to be one that just maybe holds my tongue and doesn't say anything. And if it's something I didn't like what they say, I just sort of contain my wrath. And so is he talking about how we should respond in our interpersonal relationships, or is James trying to make a point here on what our response should be to the word of God? Well, when you see that word there, wherefore, that starts off the verse 19, it means that we ought to go back and see what is preceding that verse. And so let's do that. Let's just look back at verse 18 and see what James is referring to in 18. Verse 18, he says this, "Of his own will, God's own will, beget he us," born again, all right, was being sung about this morning, "he beget us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of the brethren." So in verse 18, James is talking about the word of God. It is the word of God that is the means or the conduit through which we attain new life. We hear the gospel. We hear the good news, and as we hear the good news, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so James, in context, is talking about the word of God. And so it is the word of God that gave us new life, and now in verse 19 and following, he's going to try to establish the point that it is the same word that needs to continue to transform us. Just as you were transformed through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and through faith in it, you need to continue to be transformed through the influence of the word of God, the life-giving effect of God's word in our lives. And so that's when James continues in verse 19 where he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So James tells us, if you're going to come to the word of God, if your test of a genuine faith is your readiness, your teachability to receive the word of God, he tells us to be swift to hear. Now, when James tells us as it relates to the word of God to be swift to hear, he's not talking about our speed of listening. Right, what do you mean our speed of listening? Well, Jeff Allen is sitting right over there. As he travels and in certain job sites as an engineer, and as he likes to listen to a lot of podcasts and recording, Jeff can, what do you call it, Jeff? What do you do? Just increase the rate of speech on the podcast? So he's listening to things in double time, right? So a book that may take an hour and a half, he can get it down to 45 minutes. Now that brings inherent problems to Jeff, because when he comes in here, he can't increase my rate of speed. And so he's like, this is slow. This is, Pastor, it's too slow. You know, so he's used to hearing it, And so that brings its inherent challenges when he comes to church. And so when James says, be swift to hear, he's not saying, listen faster. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about our attitude as we listen. And so we need to be swift to hear, that the believer is eagerly looking for opportunities to expose themselves to God's truth. Swift, eager to hear the word of God, to be taught. Okay? And so that's why you this morning, and at other times during the week in various ways, or on Wednesday evening Bible study, or some of you that stay for Sunday school or the evening service, why do you do that? Because you have an attitude, you have a mindset that in my life, I am eager, I am swift to expose myself to God's truth. I want to be taught the truth of God's word. There's things I need to be taught in my life. And so you come to God's word with that expectation that that there's other things I could hear, right? There's other things I could be doing with my time on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. Yeah, there's a lot of other things I could be listening to out there. But in my life, I want to be taught from the word of God. I want to hear what God has to say about certain things, about life. And so we are to be swift to hear. Not only are we to be swift to hear, but also slow to speak. All right? Slow to speak. All right? And so we listen to God's word. We don't think, what can I say about it? But instead, what is God saying to me? God, what are you saying to me about this? All right? And I'm slow to speak. And then it says, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. How does slow to wrath have anything to do with listening to God's word and being teachable? All right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you're receiving corrections from someone on a topic of which you are very sensitive? Has anybody ever come to you and confronted you about something, a topic or something in your life that you're just kind of sensitive to? What is your natural inclination? To defend yourself, right? To respond in wrath, if you will. And so what this verse is telling us is that as the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, comes into our life and reproves us, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, right? Isn't there times where sometimes God's word steps on our toes? God's word convicts us. God's word reproves us. And what is our natural inclination? To defend ourselves. To defend ourselves, to speak against it. And so James is saying, listen, if you're going to be properly prepared to receive the word of God, you have to have a teachable spirit where you do not defend yourself. You do not argue with God about that which he's trying to teach you. All right? But we respond. We don't get angry. We don't argue with God. I'll just read it to you. But I have it written here, but think about 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2 tells Timothy, the pastor, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See, that's what Timothy was told to do. He was told to preach the word. And part of that preaching of God's word was that it was to reprove. Let the word of God reprove people. Let the word of God rebuke people. And there were some people that will not like that. They will not like that. And look at what their response is in verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they, those that hear the reproving preaching of God's word, will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The teachers don't have itching ears. The hearers have itching ears. In other words, they want a message that is more pleasing to them. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They will find a message that will make them happy and feel good about themselves. But we don't need a message that helps us feel more comfortable, right? We need a message that helps us become more like Christ. That's what we need, see? And so the proper response is teachability. I'm going to come and submit myself to whatever God says, all right? Whatever God says. And so the wrath of man, verses 20, worketh not the righteousness of God, James chapter 1, verse 20. So if I come to the word of God with a teachable spirit, not with a spirit that is there to defend myself or argue against God about what he's dealing with me in my life, it's going to work the righteousness of God in me. If I come with a spirit of defending myself against what God is reproving me about, that wrath, that defensive spirit, that attitude of not being teachable will not result in the righteousness of God in my life. So this morning, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Do you come swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath? In other words, you come saying, God, I want to know what you have to say about this in my life. I want to know what you have to say about life in you. And I'm coming because I want to learn. I want to know. I value what you say about my life and about life in general. So that's the first characteristic. The second characteristic is found in the first part of verse 21. We need to prepare our hearts to receive the word. The second characteristic is purity. Purity. Verse 21 says this, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So it says here, purity. If we're going to receive God's word, then we must make room for it. That means we must remove sin and those things that can choke out the word of God. Purity, all right? We need to prepare our hearts to receive the word by choosing to forsake sin. It says we need to lay aside. We need to lay it aside. There's certain sins that may be in our lives that if we're going to properly receive God's word, we need to lay aside those things. It says here, lay aside filthiness. All right? That's any kind of impurity or defilement. Really, the emphasis there is on an aspect of sin that is repulsive. You ever have your kids come in from outside playing, maybe on a rainy night like last night or something, they're playing in the mud, and you said, you're filthy. All right? You're filthy. That's repulsive. Okay? Go take those clothes off. Just throw them away. Not even going to try to wash them. See, so to receive the word of God, we've got to lay aside filthiness. Actually, this Greek word is used as a medical term, kind of ironic, to refer at some points to earwax. Okay? Kind of interesting in the context of this hearing, right? All right? Those things that would, again, keep us from properly hearing the word of God. Some foreign substance, sin, that would keep us to being receptive to the word of God. So we need to remove it so we can hear clearly. So we need to lay aside filthiness. We need to lay aside all superfluity of naughtiness. All right? Superfluity, over, excess, above. Naughtiness. Now, when we think of naughtiness, naughtiness is something you usually kind of laugh at, right? Little two-year-old is doing something wrong. He's sinning. And we kind of shake our finger at him and say, oh, you're so naughty, and we kind of laugh about it, all right? But that's not the idea of the word naughtiness. It means we should lay aside evil in excess. Here's the reality, folks. If we're just honest with ourselves, there are a lot of things wrong in our hearts. Amen? There are a lot of things wrong in our hearts. We just don't need a slight adjustment, okay? We don't just need a slight adjustment. There's a lot of stuff wrong in our lives. And there are all kinds of things that God could choose to deal with us about, correct? But what does God usually do? By his grace, he opens our eyes to certain things a lot of times just one at a time. Just one at a time. And as we deal with that one thing and he peels that back, he just kind of keeps peeling it as an onion. See? And so God in his grace, many times, just when it comes to the word of God and our need to get things out of our lives so we can be more prone to listen to it, he just deals with us with just one thing out of a time. And if we deal with those things one at a time and respond to God's word properly, we'll grow in Christ's likeness. You know, some of us don't have an appetite for the word of God because we're feeding on the junk food of this world. The Bible doesn't mean to me anything. I don't get anything out of it anymore. Well, maybe it's because we're feeding on so much other stuff. And because we're feeding on so much other stuff, it keeps us from developing an appetite for the word of God. And so examine our hearts and confess sin so you can be ready to hear from the word of God. I enjoy going to other churches. And I was in Greenville going to church with Jeff and Rochelle. And part of their order of service, early in the service, they had a time of confession. They had a time of confession, where they literally bowed their heads and hearts before the Lord for about 45 seconds and just had a private time of confession. Now, we do that around the Lord's table because we want to honor the Lord before we partake of the Lord's Supper, but they do that every Sunday morning, a time of silent confession. What would be the purpose behind that? All right? Well, could it be that our hearts are properly prepared for worship? that our hearts are properly prepared to receive the Word of God, that we're laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receiving with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save our souls. And so there is that spirit of teachability, receiving with meekness. And then there is the idea of purity, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receiving with meekness the engrafted Word. And that is the third one here. The third quality is meekness, or humility. All right, in verse 21, the last part of the verse, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. So there's teachability, purity, and now humility. If you're a believer, you've already you received the engrafted Word which saved your soul. All right, and now that Word that has been engrafted, you need to continually receive with meekness the Word of God. Not just at salvation by faith when you declared yourself a sinner and believed the gospel, but you need to come to the Lord continually with that humility. That word meekness can be translated in a number of ways: gentleness, considerateness, humility. But the idea is humility here. I need your Word. I need you to show me from your Word what I need today. Okay, humility. What was the problem of the fool in the book of Proverbs? Well, he is continually given instruction, right? The fool in the book of Proverbs. But he disregards it. Why does the fool in the book of Proverbs disregard the instruction of parents and others that he constantly is given? Because he feels he has the answer to everything. He feels that he is right in his own eyes. And so we should listen to the instruction that God gives to us. You know, we need to be humble. We need to be teachable. I've been in Christian education. I've coached off and on in Christian schools for a number of years. I've only coached girls for 1 year. I coached girls JV basketball back in the 1980s. Okay? I learned very quickly that there's a big difference in coaching girls and boys. A lot of differences. Okay? But one of the differences is that girls are much more teachable when it comes to things. Boys are not as teachable. They already shoot a basketball a certain way. They've experienced some success in shooting that basketball that way, though it's not the right way to shoot a basketball. And so they are reluctant to change. You try to tell them, listen, you might have success now on a junior high or JV level. You keep shooting like that. By the time you get to be a junior and senior, you're not going to experience the same success because the level of competition is going to rise, and that's not going to work up there that works down here. But nah, no, it's not worth the change. Now, my boys this year in soccer were really not that way for the most part. They were very teachable young men. But yet, typically, that's kind of what happens. In other words, they don't come many times. We don't come to the Word of God of saying, Lord, I need you to tell me what I need to know because I don't know everything. There are things in life that I need to know. And so that fool in the book of Proverbs, he is foolish because he constantly gets instruction, but he doesn't regard it because he feels like he's right in his own eyes. He's proud. He's arrogant. He doesn't listen. So we need to be just the opposite. We need to be humble. I don't know these things. I need answers. I'm dependent upon you, God, to lead me and to teach me. I have to hear from you. That's who I need to hear from. And so we need to listen to the preaching of God's word with a discerning spirit, with our Bibles open, right? Acts 17. You need to be a discerning. You just don't shut your mind off when you come here. Your mind is engaged. Your Bible is open. You're asking the Spirit of God. But if the preacher is preaching the Word of God appropriately and within context, then you need to swallow your pride and submit to the Word of God. That is what God is saying here. All right? So there's teachability, there's purity, there's humility, and then the last one we're very familiar with, and this is where it gets hard. This is where a simple truth is hard to live. There's activity. The final characteristic of one who is receptive to God's Word is activity. And so that's what we have here. We must be actively obeying what we know and hear. We must take God's instruction, then we put it into practice, right? That's what it's saying. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We don't just hear on Sundays, but we hear on Sundays, but then we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All right? You ever heard that phrase, practice what you preach? Okay? Practice what you preach. But really what God is saying here is that we need to practice what we hear. Right? That's probably even a stronger, more appropriate message for us, to practice what we hear. Listen to God's description of Israel in Ezekiel 33. "And they, God's people, come unto me, they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou, Ezekiel, art unto them as a very lovely song, of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not." You know what that scripture is telling us? That there are actually people that enjoy hearing and preaching and teaching. It's like a beautiful song. They can come into a service. That would not be my description of my preaching, all right, and my ability to preach. But there are people that can come under the sound of God's word and preaching and teaching, and their response is that, "Oh, that was lovely. What a wonderful message. What a blessing that message was." And they can say, "Oh, he's a lovely song. He plays as if he plays upon a pleasant instrument." And they can enjoy preaching and teaching, but they don't follow through with obedience. We must be doers of the word. All right? We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. You ever heard that old illustration of the new pastor that went to a church and he proceeded to preach the same message Sunday after Sunday? And then eventually the congregants got a little bit frustrated with him and said, "Why do you keep preaching the same message week after week?" And that new preacher answered, "When you start living that one, I'll move on to the next one." You ever heard that illustration? See? Because that's the goal, that we just not be hearers, but there's activity, there's teachability, there's purity, there's humility, but there's activity. We seek to live out by God's grace. And he gives the illustration there that he that is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. The mirror reflects things that may be wrong about us. We looked in a mirror this morning, right? Hopefully when you looked in the mirror, you corrected some things that needed some correcting. That was the wise thing to do, was it not? Okay. And we're at least halfway presentable because we at least did that. We did something. Okay. If we were to look in there and to see something that needed to be corrected and to walk away and saying, "Hey, no problem." Well, maybe not to you, but maybe to those that you're going to be with that day. Okay. But that we would be deceiving ourselves. And so as we look into the perfect law of liberty, and the word of God is the mirror, reflects, reproves, corrects all those things, and we don't deal with that by God's grace, we're deceiving ourselves, all right? If we don't do anything about it. You know what? I see it in my life. I see it in other believers' lives. I see in interpersonal relationships with one person's hurt somebody else, and you know what their response is? "Oh, I'll get over it. I'll get over it." Will you? Is that what the Bible says our response is to be when somebody offends us? All right, somebody spiritually offends us. Is that what the Bible says, that it just says, "Get over it"? You know, you'll get over it? Or does it tell you to go to that person and tell them of their offense and work through that biblically and relationally? Yeah, but I hear a lot of Christians that say, "I'll get over it, I'll be okay. Oh, if I go to them, it won't help anyway." It's not going to help. And those are the type of responses that Christians give about certain areas of the Christian life that are contrary to the word of God. What are they doing? They're deceiving themselves. They're deceptive. They're deceiving themselves. They're being deceived by their own lack of teachability, their own lack of maybe purity. They're holding an offense in their heart, their own lack of humility of submitting themselves to the word of God and then doing and obeying the word of God. If we don't obey what God says, we're deceiving ourselves. The contrast of the doer is that he's blessed. Do you want God's blessing? It doesn't come merely by hearing God's word, but by hearing and obeying God's word. Luke 11:28 says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." John 15 says this, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." As we come to God's word, we have to come with a heart of teachability, purity, humility, and activity. As we conclude today, I'm just going to read some scriptures of maybe areas where we need to obey the word of God in. So Brian's going to just bring those up here. Matthew 5:16, let your heart light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 6:19-20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Matthew 28:19a, go ye therefore and teach all nations. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 6:1-2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And so a number of scriptures that we could take note of in our lives where God's trying to speak to us. Are we teachable? Are we pure and ready to receive it? Are we humble? Are we willing by God's grace to do it? Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus talks about, as he finished up this Sermon on the Mount, he gave this final illustration or this final story, and it goes along with what we've looked at this morning. He says this, Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so take heed how you hear. And after you've received that truth, by God's grace, practice it. This is the life that's built upon the firm foundation of the Word of God.